Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to study the theme, How to Interpret Scripture. Lesson 2, The Origin and Nature of the Bible. Listen to the Apostle Paul. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Paul, in his first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13. The divine revelation of the Bible. If you want to build a house, you need something to build on it. If it is a rock, fine. If it is sand, it will not last very long. So you need something strong, which will not disappear, like a rock. Now, your life, what is the basis for it? Where does it rest? The higher you're going to build a house, the deeper you must go down first for the basis of the house. Now, for your life, you have the chance for a solid rock. It's the divine revelation of the Bible. The Apostle Peter recalls us to remember a happening when three apostles were with Jesus on this special mountain during the night. They slept there, and suddenly they were wide awake, because the darkness wasn't there anymore. There was a brightness. Oh, it was Jesus, beaming like the sun. And they were astonished. And then they heard a voice. And here in this text, we find the words from Peter. He writes, verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. What have they heard? In the verse before, he writes, verse 17, for he, Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, God the Father. And this voice we have heard, Peter tells us here. So we have got it from above, from someone outside of this planet. Not within. It's from the Creator itself. It was to confirm, yeah, that's my son, my beloved son, who you shall hear. It's my beloved son. This is truth, the divine revelation of the Bible, solid rock. There we are. process of inspiration. Now when Peter goes on in this text, in his second letter, he writes in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They spoke, holy men, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now that's interesting to read, isn't it? Here we see how did special information come to us humans, from the universe. God used special people, holy men, holy women, and he informed them in a special way, in a vision, whatever, and they got information from the mightiest person in the universe. And then, when they had got it from above, they spread it to their fellow beings. So a prophet is a key figure. And prophets have written. And therefore, we have the Bible. So the beginning is God speaks. This is the first point. To prophets, to holy people. And they inform other people. And because they have written it down, they've written down these precious words. We've got the Bible. And therefore we've got wisdom. And when you have wisdom, you will make wise decisions. And when you make wise decisions, you will be lucky. If you do not make wise decisions, you will be unlucky. It is so, isn't it? So, it's good to start with the right beginning and not to learn afterwards, oh, I should have taking a better beginning. Think first. Now, who can give you the best ideas? It's the one who created you, who invented you. He knows what is the best performance for you. Did you get what you want? Or do you want to act like the Rolling Stones who sang, I can get no satisfaction. Yeah, why so? They were rich, they were popular. Women fainted in concert when they started singing. They were high. So this pop group, they were honored. Why do they get no satisfaction? If you have money, if you have success, if you're rich, if you're popular, why can't you get satisfaction? Because of that, the wrong basis. You need the Word of God as your basis. Then you're on solid rock to build on. Money? Success? For how long? One day you're popular, after some time you're forgotten. If you're a star in sports, one day when you Like you go, you're on it. Next time, when the ball is above the goal and not inside, it's short. To be honored can be very, very short in time. But here we have the basis, the right one, forever and ever. The written word of God. We read in Exodus 17, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. When Moses had died, Joshua became his follower as leader of the people of Israel. It's God who said, write this for a memorial in my book. A memorial. Sometimes in old cities in Europe, for example in Vienna or Salzburg, you find something in stone on a wall of a house written. Remembrance. Here, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart lived. And here he composed. Dip, 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 dip. It's for the remembrance that you do not forget. It was in this house that he invented this melody. So, such a remembrance is a help for our brain. And here, God says to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, so that the next generation and the next one and the next one, that they can remember these wise words. The written word of God. Europe is full of memorials. And those memorials we can still see. These are stones in which words were graved in. So these engraved words, they continue to live, even when they're 2,000 or 3,000 years old. When we look at the pyramids in Egypt, they're still there. Stone, solid stone. When we think about our digital world, the media, it is so quick and it passes away quickly. Someone made photographs of his kids, his family, and after 10 years they remembered, well, we want to look, to have a look how our kids looked 10 years before when they were babies. Okay, here's a DVD, and here's a stick, and we put it into the computer. For 10 years we haven't looked at it, and then, what's the matter? Content disappeared. After 10 years, gone. Simply gone. Not here anymore. After 10 years, that's our modern world. Quick and quickly gone. And old stones of Romans, 2,000 years old. They're still there, and you can read it, what they have written there. The written word of God, the core, the heart parts of God, the Ten Commandments, written in stone, engraved in stone. Interesting, isn't it? So that you do not forget. It's a remembrance. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember that God created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. Remember. The parallel between Christ and Scripture. When Christ was together with his disciples for the last time, the Last Supper, there was a long speech till midnight. Jude had already left them. Then Jesus prayed. It's Christ's prayer to be glorified. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, and in John 17, verse 17, we read this prayer of Jesus. Sanctify them, my followers, Jesus meant. Sanctify them, my Father in heaven, through the truth. Your word is truth. What a sentence. Your word is truth. Pontius Pilate, the Roman high official who had the power to relieve Jesus' pain or to crucify him. And he asked Jesus, what is truth? But he didn't wait for the answer. He did not wait. It would have been good for him to wait for the answer. What would Jesus have told him? God's word is truth. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody will be able to come to the Father only through me. These texts show us a lot about Jesus, who is the Word of God. Because when John starts his gospel, he starts, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the living Word of God. How is this world created? When he spoke, then it came into being. When God spoke, it was made. Now imagine. Here we have an answer for the beginning. The Almighty, the mightiest person in the world, he creates out of nothing. He creates. What about evolution? Yes, by chance. Okay, there was something in the beginning. Material pressed together and then explosion. So the universe was created. Okay. Now there was this pressed material on one heap. Very, very pressed. Where did this come from? Where did it come from? It's a problem, isn't it, for the evolutionist? God created out of nothing. He spoke, and it came into being. When he speaks, then it is there. That's truth. Understanding the Bible in faith. When the Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Hebrews, he made a very interesting point in Hebrews chapter 11. There he writes, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." It is faith. "For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." They were not made of things which do appear. Came out of nothing. He spoke, and it happened. They were created because he spoke. So here we are really at the beginning of the beginning. At the very beginning. If you leave out God, whom do you place there? Explosion? Yeah, who initiated the explosion? So we are, in the Bible, best informed about the beginning of the world. There's one misunderstanding students usually make. When they're at university, then they hear a lot of things, knowledge increases, and then they think, well, that is truth. No, it's knowledge. Knowledge is not the same as truth. Knowledge is knowing something at the moment. And we think, that's it. And after some time, when years go by, we discover, this was only part of the knowledge. Now we know more. We have got more knowledge. Once I was in a clinic, psychiatric clinic, and there I found a huge drawing on the wall. I had to visit somebody there, and there was the history of development of using drugs for people who have got a depression, who wanted to commit suicide, and so on. And then you could read, in 1957 we prescribed this medicine to help the people. Oh no, it created the following results. It was, chemicals. It was poison for these people. But in 1957, science thought, this is the best for the person. And then you read, in 1962, we used this medicine, these drugs. And when we look at it today, we say, oh no. They've really done this? Yeah, haven't they known? No, they haven't. It's far back in history for medicine development. Nowadays we use this and that. That's far better And what can we read in 10 years? Then they will say, well, in 2020 they used this medicine? Horrible! How could they? So, what we know at the moment is a knowledge for the moment. It's only part of the whole knowledge. True science, not only science, true science is always in harmony with the Bible. And if science is not in harmony with the Bible, it's because it's only part of the truth, part of the knowledge. It's not all of it. It's only a few percent of the whole. That's the difference. Summary. When we have a look at his origin and nature of the Bible, we are informed that we get this information from the universe. There is a God. He is the wisest. And in his wisdom, in his grace, he let us know something. And he uses holy men, holy women, prophets, prophetess, and they are informed by him, directly from heaven. And because they are informed, they can inform their neighbors, other people, followers. And when prophets write down what they have got as information from God, then we can read it even 2,000 years or more later. When you think of Moses, 3,500 years later, we can read what he got on information. Imagine! 3,500 years later. So we are informed about this wisdom to remember what is real wisdom. And if you remember this, you look at this, you read this, and you act according to what you have read, then you will act wisely. When you act wisely, you will make good decisions. And you will see results. Of success, you will be blessed. And what's the opposite? You do not care about God, his word, you're the best, you know everything. What then? Then when you look at the results, you discover, it's a failure. Where's the mistake? What have I done wrong? Where could I find a better way? And it's easy. When you build your decisions on the solid rock, on the Word of God, then you can build and build and build and build. 30 stories, 50 stories, 100 stories. It is stable. It rests on solid ground. So when your life should be a better life, then what most of the people on this planet experience, then trust in the Word of God. Believe in Him. It's heavenly wisdom. And when you act according to this will, blessings will follow. Be sure about that. And if you do not act according to his will, you will be cursed by yourself, by your decisions. God doesn't do anything, he just watches you. falling downwards. But he helps you up again. If you trust in him, if you believe him, if you have faith in his word, faith in him, then there will be a continuous growing. As you can see it in nature. Do you want to grow or to fall and diminish? You have got a big chance. There is the Bible. Do you read it? Do you act according to your knowledge? Then you will be blessed. How lucky you are if you act in this way forever and ever. This is the best what you can do for your future.